the bounty of being able to breathe. It has been indicated in this ayat, which ayat in Surah Kahf, Allah Ta'ala says, whoever hopes to meet his Lord, let him do righteous deeds and associate no one in his worship. So in this ayah, it is an indication there is life after death. After you pass away, then you're going to meet Allah Pak. After death will come Qiyamah. You can't doubt it. Like you know, tomorrow is Thursday. You're waiting for it. It's going to come. There's no doubt in it. You understand? Same way, it's a fact. After life, this life, this death. After death, this Qiyamah. Where the meeting with Allah will take place, there will take place accountability for each and every grain consumed and every drop of liquid drunk. As he says this here. Every morsel, every crumb, every sip of water we have to account for. One hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts interrogating, one by one will go to Allah ta'ala's court. The one whom Allah ta'ala starts interrogating him and asking him, oh, so on that day, why did you do this here? Why did you speak this here? You ate a packet of, I'm giving an example, crisp. There was little left. Why you threw it away? You drank juice. You never drank it till the end. Why did you throw away? Why did you waste water? Open the tap first and the water must run while you wait, waiting for me, pulling the sleeves up. Why did you waste lights? There was no need for the light to be left on. That person is finished. Faqad halaka. Rasulullah is destroyed. And the other one, when it comes to Allah Pak will look at him. He tried in his world. He made istighfar. He made his mistakes. فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابِ يَسِيرًا. Allah Pak will just ask him a few questions. Okay, all right, you read your namazes. See, once, twice you were a bit late. Once, twice you were lazy. You scratched around in namaz. All right, never mind, go. It's a very light hisab kitab. So now Muslims should ponder, how should I live in this world? I will be called to account for every breath I take. I will be asked, what rights have I fulfilled for the breath that I inhaled? Did you use this breathing? Now we're breathing. Oh Allah, I was in class at that time when I was breathing. Or did you use your breathing while you were doing wrong in haram? If air did not enter, what would have happened? Imagine no air went into our lungs. What if the air that was inhaled and you couldn't exhale it? What would have happened to us? When you were sleeping, were you breathing out of your own volition and choice? When you're sleeping, you're breathing on your own, or is it Allah Ta'ala that's allowing you to breathe? If your breathing were to have slowed down and stopped and more were to have faced you, what would have been your situation? We know people pass away in sleep. Young person, he was a student from Stenger. Married, I think maybe he had one small child, baby. Completely at night, just a little cough like how they have. When he woke him up for Fajr time, he passed away. In his sleep, he just passed away. Absolutely nothing wrong. A slight cough, not even a fever. He went to sleep. When he woke him Fajr time up, he passed away. He passed away. They couldn't believe it. One breathes without a conscious effort. You don't have to think to breathe. And without having to exert oneself, there's not a huge effort. You don't have to pick up something heavy or pay for the breathing. Inhaling and exhaling takes place without meditation and research. You don't have to do research now. How must I breathe in? How must I? Automatically, from the time we are born, immediately. In fact, you get a smack when you were born. The first thing when a person is born, they hit him on a bum. Chalo. Then he starts crying. It's now strange thing. You get hiding from the day you're born. If someone eat you at home, I say, you know what, he told me from the day, the first thing when I was born, he gave me a bit of a smack if I wasn't crying. He said, wake up. What would have happened if one's breathing depended on deep pondering? Imagine you had to think deeply before you had to breathe. These are matters for consideration. My dear children, save yourselves from foreign thoughts. Don't bring into your mind rubbish things, nonsensical things, bad thoughts, evil ideas. Then it goes in the mind, it goes in the heart, and you're going to speak and you're going to behave accordingly. Negating the creation and instilling love for Allah Ta'ala. This is the heading. The Kalima Tayyiba is such a phrase that has La in its commencement. When you read a Kalima Tayyiba, you read La. It's negations. La means no. The La cuts off all those passions, desires, and connections with the creation. When you say La, when you read also La, that means I've cut myself off from everyone. You've cut yourself from all desires, desires for food, desires for fun, desires for friends, desires for whatever desire you could have, you say La, no. All desires which are impediments, obstructing from connecting with the Creator. La has negated all this. When you say La, there's no one. Finish. No hope, no desire, no fun, no pleasure. La. Right? Yes, that creation is a means and intermediary for an increase in one's connection with the Creator. Connection with such a creation is actually connection with the Creator. Now, someone says, but mustn't I love my wife? Mustn't I love my father? Stop using La. As you sing La, you're cutting yourself off. As he's explaining now, certain connection with people in their rights, that in fact, and you have love for them, that in fact is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In itself, it is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not considered being connected to the creation because it has become the means of the creation being connected to a greater creator degree with the real creator, Khaliqi Haqiqi. When you love your father, you love your mother, you show respect, you give respect, you display respect, you show love, you display love. Some people can't bring it to tell their mother, I love you, or their father, I love you. It's a big, they feel that's for sissies. That's terrible. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would tell a sahaba, I love you for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Parents feel happy and they feel good if their children tell him such words. You can't bring my sister, I'll never tell my sister I love her. Sis, yes, like you. How can I tell her like that? They find it to be bad. It is not right. Islam teaches us to have muhabbat. Actually, as he explains further, there is a request from Allah Ta'ala for access to such creations will cause an increase in the connection with the Creator. Allah Ta'ala has requested us, O my Banda, I'm requesting you that you must make dua that the people that help you to get my love, they must love you. How do we know? So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had made this request. Rasulullah himself lifted his hand. Now imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifting his Mubarak hand. Put it in your mind. And very humbly, he says, Allahumma rizukni hubbaka. وَحُبَّ مَيَنْ فَعُونِي حُبُّهُ عِنَّكَ. Oh Allah, grant me the risk of your muhabbat. This is my request to you. Rasulullah said, I ask you, I'm requesting you. Grant me the risk of your muhabbat, meaning grant me your muhabbat. Risk is not only food. Grant me your muhabbat. Grant me the risk of the muhabbat of that person also whose muhabbat for you helps and assists me in attaining your muhabbat. Let's again explain. Rasulullah makes dua, Allah grant me your muhabbat. And there are now people around him. There's his Mubarak wives, the Sahaba, family, friends. Rasul Asim is asking Allah, let it be that put in their heart, these are people that love you. These are people that love you. It's awesome. So they're making ibadat, giving their lives, fighting in the path of Allah. Now they are around. Let it not be that they ignore me. Let it not be that they hate me. Let it not be that they dislike me. Ya Allah, I ask of you to give me the muhabbat of that person. He's going to show muhabbat to me. And because of the muhabbat that he shows to me, I'm going to have more muhabbat for you. It must increase, it must be like petrol, filling in, I'm explaining, into a tank. Give me your muhabbat, your love. Give me the love of those people that have muhabbat for you. They must also love me, so that when I listen to them, I speak to them, I travel with them, I'm in their company. I think of you, these people have got a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm very fortunate that they love me. Our Wazir Rahmatullah Ali, there were people at times that would tell him, Wazir, we have muhabbat for you, we love you. Immediately he used to look down and very humbly, he used to say, Allah Ta'ala make it, that the muhabbat you have for me is a means of me being forgiven. So beautiful. You have muhabbat for me, Allah Ta'ala make it, that is muhabbat you have for me, Allah Ta'ala makes it a means of my najat in a akhirah. It is proved from this Hadith Sharif that the love of that creation that is of benefit in the love of the Creator is not love for the creation, but actually the love for the Creator. In Hadith Sharif, love has been interpreted as rizq. Allahumma rizqni hubbaka. Allahumma rizqni hubbaka. Allahumma rizqni. Allah, give me the rizq of your muhabbat. So, muhabbat has been mentioned with the word rizq. In a similar manner, that deed that is a cause for an increase in muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, that deed is also for Allah Ta'ala. As he stated, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka, wa hubba man yuhibbuka, wa hubba amali yuqarribuni ila hubbik. Oh Allah, I ask of you for your love. The source makes dua. Give me your love. And the love of that person who has love for you, which has already been explained. The love of that person, any person who's got love for you, I want to make salam to him. I want to touch him. I want to make his khidmat. I want to make it like it's your mother's sister. I want to make her khidmat. Because this person loves you. I want to be like pious people. Why? That person will love me. I'm helping that person. He's going to love me and I will come even closer unto you. And give me the tawfiq of the love of such a deed. Give me the tawfiq. The tawfiq, it must come in the mind. The love, it must come in the heart. Of such a deed that will draw me closer to you. You see a poor person. He is walking, he is struggling, he is suffering. He is looking for papers. Now you want the tawfiq first of all. Hey, let me see if I can stop the car. You got the tawfiq. Then you become desperate, you stopped. Now the thought came, let me give him a 5 rand, never mind. Now the love of the deed. The thought came, you got tawfiq in your mind, the tawfiq is in the mind. Now we think to ourselves, you know what? I can wait for that guy to come. He's first of all worried and he's excited. He's seen you stopped your car. He's coming from the back. He's got a load. You think, no man, this guy is doing me a favor. We heard a beggar is doing us a favor. Instead of him having to leave his cart, he has to now run and walk. Why give him the trouble? Allah gave me a car and a nice car and I must make him walk. And you must be worried. No, why do you allow that? You get out of the car, you go towards him, you give him 5 rand. Or whatever you want. You had the tawfiq. Now you had a love for that deed. Allah Ta'ala loves that. Anything. You think in your mind, how can I help my father tomorrow, my mother? What can I do? Am I going to squeal and argue if they have something in their mind for me? I'm going to fight. I'm going to debate the point. Laughable. I'm going to object worse, even worse. I'm talking about permissible things, not impermissible things. Maybe I can't get something. Why do I want to give someone else? But I use my akal. Allah, give me the tawfiq. I must be happy with my father. And you think then, how many favors? He did for me this favor, that favor, so many things. You people are young. You don't know. You haven't seen life. You don't know still what is a father. I can tell you this much here. The day you become a father, you'll really know. Everything they planned and they worked and to the extent maybe you may only have been 1-2 years old, they already thought my son must one day have his own independent income. They already at that time when he becomes big, I must leave something for my son. You know, he mustn't run around, he mustn't be in need of people. And they worked towards that. From that age when we couldn't even understand, you were already busy. But they didn't tell us what we're going to answer. Can you imagine a father speaking to his 2-year-old son? You know what, I'm starting a shop. One day you must have your shop. He won't read it. Why, he's saying, you know, it's not the age for this, yeah? But in the back of his mind, he didn't want to even to sweat. He mustn't even sweat. He'll take all the difficulty on his own self. All he will do, all the sacrificing. One day my son, my children must be well settled. They must have homes. They must have income. They must be educated. They will run to the schools. They will run to the madrasas. They will sometimes argue. They will fight amongst themselves. Mother and father will fight one another. The mother is soft-hearted. She wants the easy way. The father understands. No, 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 no. No ways. I'm not going to allow this here. In the end, that's how they chisel us. That's how they shine us. And one day, alhamdulillah, after we get married, we understand now. Especially when we get our own children. So huge rights there are of the parents. Very huge rights. So Allah, let me make them happy. How can I make them happy? When you are happy, your parents are happy, number one. If you sulk, Allah forbid, because you couldn't get something or intake you somewhere. You know, sulking. It's the worst thing in the world. If you get a sulking wife, you hate it, Baba. There's nothing as beautiful as a happy wife. And there's nothing as fearsome as a sulking wife. You know what's sulking? You don't know what's sulking. They call it sour. It's a terrible tragedy on a real husband's heart who really wants to keep his wife happy. For no reason. Sometimes they have the problems, they have difficulty. When he's sick, you can't say they're sulking. If the family has got some problem, you can't say they... We speak about worldly things that they couldn't buy or you couldn't distinguish any upset. That is what is meant by this here. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to love people, to love good deeds. And when you love a good deed, you want to do it over and over and over again. We love Ishraq, we love Chash, we make dua, Allah give me the love for Tahajjud. Whatever we lazy to do, ask Allah, give me the love to do this good deed. Allah Ta'ala is the one that can change the hearts. Allah's power is very great. Sahaba were enemies to one another before Islam. Allah Ta'ala told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Quran Sharif, I join their hearts. Lo anfaqta ma fil ardi jami'am. Mafil ardi. O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, had you spent all the money, jami'am, all the money on earth, lot of money, lot of gold, lot of silver, lot of rubies, lot of jewelry, lot of cash money, lot of horses, anything, all the wealth. Give everyone 10,000 horses, give everyone so much money, build for everyone. If you had spent all the money in the world, ma lafta bina qulubin. You couldn't have joined their hearts. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنُهُمْ But Allah Ta'ala is the one who joins the hearts. Allah Ta'ala is the one that joins the hearts. Muhabbat comes from Allah Ta'ala. It doesn't come, I know of people, two brothers, only two brothers, and fantastically wealthy. But the brothers can't see eye to eye. There's no Muhabbat. Allah save us. So, otherwise, there's a statement to the opposite effect. أعوذ بعزتك من شر ما عملت. O Allah, I seek protection in your honor from the evil of my deeds. Very powerful dua. Inshallah, we'll get on from here tomorrow. All right, you can set, you do your... To sum up, we have been taught in today's lessons, every breath, this is a summary, we do a bit of a summary because there were so many things. In 3-4 points, you must be able to remember. As Rahmatullah said, every breath will be accountable for every morsel of food, every sip of drink. We heard thereafter, the one whom Allah Ta'ala is going to take detailed account from, he is destroyed, he's going to go to Jahannam. The one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take easy hisab kitab, just easy, it's not a forensic. He's a sign he's going to go to Jannah. There will be two types of hisab kitab. A student that tries, mashallah wa ta'ala, 1-2 days he's a little bit lax, he can't learn. Say, no, this person, he tries hard. Leave him. Another one is a habitual loafer. That person, separately. When we wash our right hand, we'll make him wudu. Allahumma atwini kitabi bi yamini. Wa hasibni hisabi yasira. Every wudu, if we apply our minds to the wudu, Allahumma atwini, give me my kitab in my right hand. Wa hasibni hisabi yasira. Make my hisab easy. 5 times a day, we can make that dua. Allahumma la tu'tin kitabi shimali, ummi waraydi, dhuhri. When you wash the left hands, oh Allah Ta'ala, I think this Sunday kitab students, we're going to listen to wudu duas, inshallah Ta'ala. Do not give me my deeds in my left hand or behind my back. Otherwise, it's a sign of going to Jahannam. So, hisab kitab. Breathing is a ni'mat from Allah. If our breathing had to stop for a moment, would have been turning blue. You know, people who choke out, if desperate, they are to breathe. We inhale, we exhale, what a kudrat of Allah. We don't have to think, we don't have to reflect, we don't have to ponder, and we don't have to do any research. We don't have to be trained. Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Then we did this point here of asking Allah Ta'ala for His muhabbat, and the muhabbat, the La, when we say La ilaha, La, we're cutting ourselves from every creation. We're cutting ourselves off. La means no. There's no desire, no friendship, meaning haram friendship, haram things, haram thoughts, haram desires. Cut it all out. La. Having muhabbat for people that love Allah Ta'ala, that is excluded because Rasulullah taught us a dua that, oh Allah, give me the love of those who love you. Because their love is going to help us till they come to masjid. You heard this bayan. Did you meet certain pious person? Their muhabbat helps us in the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah also made dua for such people's muhabbat. Inshallah, we'll continue. Right, 2, 4, 6, 8. You must make dua for me.
You must make dua.
Can you?